You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are Talking
While Married.
So far, with regards to the Trump legal team and Rudy Giuliani and Sidney Powell, I'm kind of thinking, Lynn, that it's all sizzle and no steak. What's up?
Well, it could be, but I do think that there was plenty of fraud to go around. And I like Sidney Powell, and I think she's a really interesting and educated attorney. But Giuliani is kind of dissing her in a way, saying that she's not part of Trump's legal team. So one would then wonder why she's so involved in this. Is she just an interested American that wants to see justice served, or is she really involved in some way? So I don't know the answer to that.
Well, having worked with hundreds and hundreds of attorneys, I can tell you that attorneys have some of the biggest egos out there. So, you know, one of the first questions that I ask myself is, and by the way, I'm totally in agreement with you. I think there's systemic fraud on a national, all the way across the country. But making allegations is one thing, and being able to prove them in a court of law using objective evidence is something else. And so I can totally get the personality conflicts, if that's what's going on between Giuliani and Powell. But ultimately, you can't have sizzle, you got to have steak. And so I'd like to get a little bit of a key of what the objective evidence is all about, because I'm going to tell you what, they've had several different lawsuits that have been filed across the country, and they can't get one past motion for summary judgment. They've lost every single one except for one.
That's not true. They haven't lost every single one.
They've gotten one.
The Third Court of Appeals has gone back and will definitely look at the evidence in Pennsylvania. So that's something. Now, something interesting that just came up is that several states are going to be having open hearings on their elections with the idea that they want to assure the public that their election and the way that they counted it was free and fair. But they also are going to have people that have signed affidavits there that have said that they saw fraud. So that's going to be upcoming very, very soon. And I think that'll be really interesting. But I wanted to say, Ron, about the fraud. There's plenty of fraud to go around. We've heard about it in so many ways, and so many people have come forward and talked about fraud. And, you know, just some of the ways were, of course, the dead people voting, far more people voting than registered voters. That's a big one to me. And I don't know how they explain that.
Well, okay. So Alan Dershowitz, famous professor of constitutional law, famous attorney, constitutional law, famous civil rights attorney. And by the way, I don't agree with him all the time, but he is, I can't disagree with the fact that he's very learned and he really knows his constitutional law, because I'm a student of that. And here's what he says, and I have to agree with him. In order to get into a court of law and get past summary judgment, all right, so for our friends and followers, each side in litigation, each side makes an argument before the trier of fact. And in this particular case, it's always going to be a judge. It's not going to be a jury. And they both put together their arguments using established case law, precedent case law, but then you've got to have objective evidence in order to prevail on summary judgment, because you're making your argument and the other side says, in this case, states are saying, wait a minute, no, you might find a few things, but you're not going to say find large scale fraud. And that's what Dershowitz is saying. He's saying that the Trump people are making and I like the analogy. They're making a retail argument, not a wholesale argument. A retail argument is a couple of hundred votes there, maybe 500 votes there, maybe 1,000 votes there. where the wholesale argument is hundreds of thousands of votes or millions of votes.
Well, let's just talk about some of these arguments that some are retail, but I think that there's a wholesale one amongst the mix. So let's just take for fraud that if there is 1,706 absentee ballots that are sent out in a county and 556 never even requested an absentee ballot, how do you explain that? And of those left 1,137, only 453 are actually mailed back but never got counted.
No, I get it. And I'm, by the way, I'm totally supportive of what you're saying. I agree, systemic fraud, but that's a retail argument.
That's not a wholesale argument. I get it.
Here's another
retail argument.
Okay.
There have been numerous double voters, so people that vote in two different states, numerous of those. And in Wisconsin, I think, is the biggest one. So if you take the people that are indefinitely confined, so people say in nursing homes,
right,
that type of thing,
care,
and
nursing
they can't,
facilities.
Yep. They are the only people who don't have to show ID in Wisconsin. So they can get an absentee ballot and they don't have to show any ID. Well, the number over all the elections that we have had that it averages is about 1,000 of those. In this election, Ron, there was 200,000.
Okay, so now you're starting to move towards the wholesale.
Yes.
Let me give you an example. And I know that you've done a little bit of studying, certainly more than I have. Okay, so you've got the Dominion software, right?
Yes.
You've got sports card?
Scorecard.
Mm-hmm. And then you've got hammer.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So hypothetically speaking, and it's actually more than hypothetical because the allegations have been put out, the software has changed millions of votes, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's the allegation. Okay.
Yes.
Here's the objective evidence that is a wholesale argument that gets you for sure over summary judgment, okay, where you prevail and you get to try your case, all right? Even at the United States Supreme Court certainly is going to get you through the district court and the district court of appeal if you have the objective evidence that proves on this particular date, hour, time, there were 3 million votes cast for Donald Trump. And then in a blink of an eye, they changed over to Joe Biden.
You get in
and do the forensic. Wait a minute. You do the forensic download of the software and you're able to conclusively prove that. That's objective evidence.
Well, guess who didn't show up for their congressional or Senate hearing?
Oh, I know. I know that the CEO and the big deals from Dominion didn't show. As a matter of fact, they not only didn't show, they lawyered up. Now, is that suspicious? It absolutely is. But is that their constitutional right to do so?
Yes.
It absolutely is, because they are being accused of voter fraud, which is a federal crime. So you're going to lawyer up.
Okay, here's your other wholesale arguments. These states and counties that decided to change the rules at the 11th hour and change things, say in Nevada, to have a signature recognition of 40% instead of say 70%, that's an unacceptable failure rate.
Oh, sure. 40% is an F in anybody's classroom.
Exactly. So that's a big issue, number one. Number two, the whole signature thing on these mail-in ballots is insane. Nobody's checking signatures anywhere, and the machines that are checking them are set to such a low bar that they're worthless. So I have a real problem with that. And we don't know who voted, and we don't know how many times they voted, because we don't really know anything about who voted.
Okay, so let me take that on for a minute. All right. First of all, you got to have the numbers. So let's just start with the signature. And like I said, I'm totally in agreement with you. You know, who the heck you know, tweaked the machines to go down to 40%. I mean, they should be at least 70, 80%.
And they should put those votes back through the machines and with those parameters.
No, and I absolutely agree. And they, you get a lot of them tossed out. The question is how many of them tossed out. Now, what's nice about Texas, and we've talked about this numerous times, is that Texas has voter ID. You got to show a driver's license. And not only that, you've got an electronic keypad. And just like you're signing for a credit card, you know, you sign your signature and the lady or the man, whoever is the person controlling the voting there and checking you in, they go right to the screen and they compare it. And I actually saw it, if you remember, because I was very curious about it. And I kind of looked at the screen and saw how she was comparing. You and I have very distinct signatures. And so we passed right through. I love that. Now, if they were able to find on these mail-in ballots or whatever, if they were able to find 100,000, 200,000 votes, or I'm sorry, ballots that had signatures that once they retweaked the machine up to 80 percentile, there is an argument.
Oh, I think that they absolutely would find that.
Right, here's another argument. The second part of what you talked about is they changed the voting rules on the eve of the election.
Yes.
Absolutely a good argument because they can't do it. It's on its face, it's unconstitutional. That's a great argument. Now, again, it's about numbers. You would have to find out how many people were disenfranchised from voting once they illegally changed the voting rules on the advent of the election. And if you were to find 100,000, 200,000, 300,000, 500,000, a million, that's a great argument to take before the court. But that's a wholesale argument, not a retail argument.
Well, and I would assume, Ron, that if we're just two people sitting here having a cup of coffee and we can think of that, so can the attorneys. So I'm sure that they're looking into all avenues. They have called, they have people that are out there calling voters and saying, did you actually send in your ballot? And that's where I got these figures, where out of 1,706 people that they called and 556 1,706 received absentee ballots, 556 of those said that they never asked for them. So where did they go and who filled them out? That's a big question. And then of the 1,137 left, 453 actually did send their ballots in with their vote cast and they were never counted. Where are they?
Yeah.
And were those Trump votes that got tossed?
Well, see, and I agree 100% with what you're saying, but unfortunately it's a numbers game and the judges aren't really interested in 400 votes here, 600 votes there, you know, that kind of thing. I totally agree with you. And if you were to look at it here, I would extrapolate that if this happened in one county and we have thousands of counties in the United States, and that's just one county, or if they were to find 10 counties that had that problem, I think you could extrapolate and probably get much bigger numbers that would get a particular district court to agree. Like, you know, we're in the, we used to be in the Ninth Circuit. Okay. So California, Hawaii, Oregon, Washington, Alaska, Nevada, Arizona. Okay. All in the Ninth Circuit. And if they were to do, check California and find, you know, 10 counties there. If they were to check Oregon and find 10 counties, you know what I'm talking about, and get up to maybe like 80 counties, and they were to find that that was systemic, I think that's a good argument. Even if the numbers, here's where I join you, okay? Even if the numbers were relatively smaller, in this particular electoral voting location, they found 500 bad votes, right? And you just kept, you know, adding those numbers, even though the aggregate score or numbers would be still, you know, maybe 20,000, I think that's still a good argument.
I think if there was time, and here is the problem.
You're running out of time.
And I've said this before, I'll say again, I think it's a bridge too far for President Trump. I think that he won the election. I think that they cheated him so badly in so many areas that what you end up with is with a whole bunch of retail arguments. So that being said, there are certainly cases that are moving forward. And now there's a recount again in Georgia, and they're going to tighten up on those signatures. And there is the third court of appeals
right.
that is going to hear
no,
the case.
And I totally agree.
So things are happening. Here's what, whatever the court says, Ron, whatever the court says, the American people should be very, very concerned. We are probably going to be stuck with Joe Biden, which I think is the worst thing that could have happened to America, because really we're going to be stuck with Obama again. But the American people will never feel that there's a, this was a free and fair election, and we will have to be concerned about upcoming Georgia elections and every election thereafter.
No, and I totally agree with you. And we're already starting to see, you know, how Joe Biden is bringing people back from the Obama administration. And some of these people are just train wrecks.
Oh, John Kerry?
Oh, yeah.
That's are you it. Kidding
thanks
me?
For, he was the first train wreck I was going to mention, but you took it from me. But listen, here's the other thing. I want people to continue to focus on the serious problems that we have right now with voting fraud and fight for President Trump. We need to not look, you know, some people are kissing it off right now.
Oh, yes.
And they're saying, well, you know, we got to look towards the next election. No, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
We're not done with this one.
We're not done with this one. And by the way, as you brought up, we've got Georgia. And if we can't get stuff squared away in Georgia, we're going to see this democracy auger in.
Yeah.
All right. And I think people have got to reevaluate walking away from the president of the United States. Listen, you're not just walking away from the president of the United States. You're walking away from the heart of the democratic process, which is credible voting. For God's sakes, don't walk away from that, because this may be the very last free election that we have in the United States if we become a socialist Marxist country.
Yeah, we have got to stand with the president on this, win or lose, because like I said, it's a bridge very far, okay? But we have to bring out as much fraud as we possibly could so that people understand that this system needs to be fixed before the next election.
No, I totally agree with you. How about our first cup of coffee?
You got it.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli, forensic criminologist, death investigator, and host of A Thread of Evidence on America Out Loud. Are you a fan of CSI shows and documentaries? Are you fascinated with how death investigators like me solve high-profile death cases like you see on the news? If so, then I encourage you to join me as I unpack some of the most high-profile police and civilian-involved death cases in my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police. Read all about the forensic evidence you never heard on the evening news. You can get a copy of my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, today by ordering it on my forensic site at www.dronmartinelli.com. DRRONMartinelli.com. And remember, without truth, there is no justice.
Fellow Americans, our mission here at AmericaOutloud.com is clear. We're here to defend our founding values and principles at a moment when they are under unprecedented assault. And to cover the news objectively and offer intelligent commentary on the challenges we face as a nation. You can tune in and join our family of listeners 24/7 in this vital crusade. Our apps are on Apple, Android, or Alexa. Find us on iHeartRadio or our world-class media player. It is a fight for the soul of humanity. America Out Loud Talk Radio is the voice of liberty and justice for all.
Well, here's the coffee. And now that I've done my part in the coffee relationship,
I'll do the drinking.
I want to talk about this whole thing about Biden talking about the unification of the United States of America and United States citizens. Okay. So, you know, if that was his thing, you know, I'm a unifier. And, you know, here's my opinion, Joe, you're no such thing. All right. And nobody in your cabinet is going to be a unifier. None of your spokesholes are unifiers. They all have a history of the antithesis of unification.
Oh, they absolutely do. And, you know, we're talking about things where the country is split in half, right?
Right. And, so, and I don't care how you cut it. You know, fraud, no fraud. Okay. Half the country is opposing the other half of the country.
Exactly. And it's not an attitude of unification where I felt that President Trump was for all Americans. I just felt that he was for America first. And that was probably the strongest resonance that I had from him throughout his time in office.
And you know, Linda, now, I think, I'm sorry, I didn't interrupt you, but I think that, you know, and we've been through a few presidential administrations. In our lives, at least in my impression, I think that President Trump, where they all talked about, you know, America, America, President Trump was the first person to literally put his money, our money, where his mouth was.
Yeah,
and putting our country first.
Well, promises made and promises kept. And he did it all around the world. He put America first all around the world. And he put us first, which is why we have COVID vaccines right now. And he gets 1,000% of that credit because of his Operation Warp Speed to make that happen. I don't think anybody else in history would have made that happen like that, because he's just a doer, where Biden is a dawdler.
Well, yeah, he's a, oh, that's wonderful. And he's a consensus kind of guy, right? So instead of, and that's the difference in leadership. Trump leads from the front. Let's do it. Let's quit screwing around. Let's stop with the rhetoric. Let's make it happen. And Biden is, okay, well, we should go check with these people and those people and, you know, kind of a consensus builder. While Americans are getting sick and dying, he's building consensus. And Trump is, you know, light years ahead of him.
Well, he's a guy who sat in the Situation Room, Biden is, and couldn't decide if they should kill Osama bin Laden or not.
Exactly.
So, I mean, that's what that the other half of the country voted for again. And it's going to be an Obama administration all over again. The people are all recycled. What do you call it when you have a 2.0?
Yeah. So version 2.0.
It's Obama 2.0. And, right. And that's what we have. But we're talking about the country being divided. There is nothing that any Democrat has said since this election that does anything to bring this country together. I think, if anything, they have further alienated the conservative part of the country, which is half the country. And they have that same feeling that Obama said, I'll never forget him saying it, is elections have consequences. And he is Biden's doing the same thing. He's doing all of the things that undoing what President Trump did, going back to the Paris Climate Agreement, talking about re-upping the agreement with Iran. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, the nuclear agreement.
After these guys gave them so much of our money.
$155 billion in cash.
In the night, in a plane. I mean, who does that?
Well, you know, let's go back to the Paris.
Talk about transparency. Oh, there is no transparency in that administration.
There was no transparency in the Obama-Biden administration. Fast and Furious, Benghazi, the IRS harassing conservatives and religious organizations. I mean, we could go on and on and on. But, you know, the fact of the matter is every single thing that President Trump and Mike Pompeo did to really create a safer and more secure world, these numbnuts are going to undo. And I have such a fear of that. I have such a fear of retaliations against Israel, enabling and emboldening Iran, the Paris Climate Accord, which has been proven to be an abject failure. And we're going to go back in. We're going to double down on the Paris Climate Accord.
See, I just see that as a scam for people like John Kerry making a lot of money over these things with the climate things.
And he's a globalist.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and that's what they're already talking about, going back to being globalists. And Kamala is talking about the agreements that President Trump made with the Middle East countries, with Israel, which are so, so important, which nobody's been able to accomplish. And he did it with several countries, and there was more to come on board. That will never happen. Now, she makes fun of it as something that wasn't real. They weren't real agreements. It didn't have anything good about it.
What? Well, the guy that he's looking at picking, he used to be the Undersecretary of State. I can't remember his name. It begins with a B, but he's a Jewish guy. All right. And Tlaib has already jumped on that and criticize Biden for considering bringing a Jew into the cabinet. Okay. I mean, how racist is that? And of course she's pro, you know, she's Muslim, pro-Palestinian. I mean, if she had her way, Iran would evaporate the Jewish state. I mean,
that's what's going on here.
That's
Anthony Blinken.
There you go. Thank you.
But, you know, he's got some history
himself
that is not pretty.
But my point is, the Palestinian, you know, pro-Palestinians raising their head and trying to cut off the head of the Israelis at the same time. I mean, she's already posturing because the guy's Jewish. She's not posturing because he's anything but Jewish.
Well, I'll tell you exactly what she said. She said, so long as he doesn't suppress my First Amendment right to speak out against Netanyahu's racist and inhumane policies, the Palestinian people deserve equality and justice. That is from Rashida Tlaib.
And so with all the wonderful work that Trump and Kushner did, his son-in-law, to create these peace accords,
yes,
I think three or four of them, and all at the same time, where do you think that's going to go in the future? Do you think we're ever going to see fruition of those peace accords? What do you think is going to happen to the Middle East with this change in the State Department and policy?
And President Trump had made that executive order that you couldn't discriminate against Jewish people and Jewish religion. So, yeah, I don't know where this is going to go. It's going to be painful for people like you and I to watch Joe Biden, who probably doesn't think a lot of straight thoughts anyway, he's going to be manipulated in office by all kinds of people. And he's going to be undoing all the good that President Trump did. I don't know that we're ever going to get that back again, but how is a country, Ron, do other countries ever look at us and trust us when, okay, this guy comes in and he does this, and this one comes in and he undoes it, then this one comes in and he undoes that. And then, you know, I mean, this is not good for America, and it's not good for Americans. And I get concerned about the people that wanted this change. I just don't understand it.
I don't think, and I'm not trying to be mean here, but they're ignorant. All right. You and I have been blessed with opportunities to travel internationally. And so we've been to Europe multiple times. You know, we go to Mexico all the time, and we have good friends and associates in Europe and in Mexico. And I think you'll join with me in agreeing that during the Obama administration, although the Europeans liked Obama, they did not like his policies, and the countries did not do well under the Obama, Biden, you know, State Department and our international policies. Same thing with Mexico. Remember?
Yes.
Mexico was heading towards depression.
Yes. And honestly, the other countries blame America for that. And
they loved
President Trump.
Absolutely.
And Mexico loved President Trump. And Europe loved President Trump. And we talked to people all over Europe. And they say that how America goes, so goes Europe. And they have no illusions about that our dollar is extremely important. So I don't know that they're going to be happy. What you need to really look at right now are the leaders in the world that are happy that Biden is president. You've got Iran, you've got China,
France.
You've got France, you've got our enemies.
Now, jumping France, up and down.
France is not an enemy, but France is often not a friend either.
Well, the French will sleep with anybody.
Yes.
Okay. You know what I mean politically. Yeah. They'll sleep with anybody. Everybody remember the Vichy government during the Nazi regime? If you want to, you know, go back in your international World War II history, that's the French for you.
President Trump made the people in the world do their part, and they didn't like that, and they didn't want to have to do their part. And today, as we speak, Pompeo is out negotiating. He's overseas negotiating with people like the Taliban and people to still get things done in these last days of President Trump, if it turns out to be that way. And by the way, President Trump has given his okay to have Biden's transition team get the information that they've been requesting and start their transition.
You know what? Let me make a point here, and it hasn't been very well reported in the news media. And that is, with all this, the problems and litigation going on between the Trump administration and the incoming Biden administration, the Trump administration has been cooperating with transition. At the same time, they're litigating. And I think the president, of course, you know, he's going to fight like a tiger. He's not a loser. He doesn't like being a loser. But at the same time, I think people in the administration understand that for America to continue to be America, ultimately, there has to be a peaceful transition. Now, we can fight it out in the courts. We can do a lot of things, but it's important to have that peaceful transition. But that being said, you're exactly right about these gigantic changes that are going to take place. All you need to do is look at the potential cabinet picks, and it scares the bejesus out of me, especially who would be taking over at the Department of Homeland Security and
yes.
ICE and Border Patrol and our federal agencies that protect our borders and keep Americans safe.
Yeah, they already want to get rid of a lot of those.
One of the names
has a lot of issues.
Omar.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. No, she can't take over anything. I'm sorry.
It's been already speculated. I'm not saying he's going to pick. Would be major pushback, from Biden.
That would be terrible.
But
scary.
Look at who they're picking. Elizabeth Warren being considered for the Department of Treasury, Bernie Sanders coming in there. You already mentioned John Kerry,
Beto O'Rourke.
Oh my God.
On the Second Amendment. Yeah.
So it's pretty serious stuff, and it could absolutely change the texture of America.
Yeah.
Fabric is what I'm looking for, the fabric of America.
I will never understand why people would have wanted that. But, even with all this turmoil, the stock market just hit the highest record as ever at 30,000. So, a lot of that is on the new COVID vaccines. Some liberal network said it was on the one of the picks that Biden made. I don't think so.
No,
I don't think at all. I don't think the stock market is happy about Biden's picks.
Right. And they haven't been confirmed.
Right?
It's just speculation. Yeah. All these names that we've been throwing out, it's all speculation. Nobody's been confirmed.
Well, John Kerry really bothers me because he's a guy that so often has been brought up. First of all, I consider him a traitor.
I do too.
For his talk about Vietnam. But secondly,
not to mention Iran.
And Iran, absolutely. But I also feel that he, and I know and believe that he was part of the whole money schemes with Joe Biden, and he profited greatly by getting illegal monies from other basically.
Like Burisma and all of these.
Yeah, all those places. Yeah, China and China. And he and his family made a lot of money that way. And I just don't want to see those people. You know, we didn't have people like that in the Trump administration. You couldn't point to people that were making illegal money from our enemies. So to have those people, I'm just disgusted. Sorry.
Well, let's talk briefly about the new COVID vaccines.
Well, we have three. So we have the Pfizer, which we're going to be getting here in Texas. December 10th is the date that they're looking at getting FDA approval. And if that comes through, that'll be distributed. Because another thing that President Trump did that was brilliant was that he had them make the vaccines, not just try them out and go through the testing, but actually produce it so that if it got approved, it could be out to the public
right away. We're hitting
the
ground running.
Yeah.
And if it's not, all you have to do is trash it.
They trash it.
Right.
And then we have the AstraZeneca, which is the newest one. And then we have the, what is the other one? The
Remdesivir?
No, the Moderna. Moderna, something like that. And then we have the antivirals. So you said Remdesivir, yes. And Regeneron, which is the one that I was waiting for. That is the one that President Trump took. That is the one
that Ben Carson
took that just works miracles. So when they say right now in this country, Ron, these have already been FDA approved. When they say that we have 1,500 people a day dying of COVID, I'd like to know why. Why are they not getting these drugs? Who is that? Is it doctors that are not giving it? Is it hospitals? Because they're available and they're out there. Why are these people not getting it?
Well, I think that's a good question. You know, one of the things that I've talked about so many times during our conversation, and also as a, you know, medical investigator myself, I am so angry with the pandemic politics, the politicization of the pandemic. And so, I mean, that is just so horrible. This whole thing couldn't have come at a worse time, which was an election year.
Yes.
And which allowed for the politicization of all this medicine and, you know, the science and the distrust of the medical establishment. How about our last cup of coffee?
Did you know the average person spends 26 years of their life sleeping? The real troubling statistic is that we spend 7 years of our life trying to get to sleep, struggling with racing minds, tossing and turning. If you're one of the millions of Americans who need better quality sleep, the time to change is now. Sleep is proven to extend our lifespan, protect against terrible diseases like cancer, heart disease, and dementia, make us more attractive and thinner, feel calmer and happier, and boost energy levels, memory, and performance. Until now, most sleep supplements haven't worked, but a new, easy-to-swallow sleep gel, invented by the leading nutrition company, Healthy Cell, is designed to support all four stages of human sleep to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake up refreshed. It's called REM Sleep. To get a free two-night supply of REM sleep, visit healthycell.com/sleep. That's healthycell.com/sleep.
Well, speaking of COVID, we are just in a crazy place in our country where we're shutting everything down again. And so many states are telling people what they can and can't do. They're shutting down restaurants. They're shutting down bars, they're stopped selling alcohol at certain hours. They're actually putting curfews on people. They're just closing businesses and people's livelihoods all over again. There is no proof that has anybody can point to that says that this helps anything, especially the restaurants that were serving outside and now they can't serve at all. You just can't keep doing this to people. You are putting so many people out of work. And what are we going to do? Just print more money to keep giving people stimulus? Speaking of,
I was just going to say, what stimulus?
Yeah.
All right. Because the Democrats are holding up the stimulus bill.
Well, they want the big money that's going to go with for all their pork.
Right.
They don't want the $500 billion that The Senate has offered.
The Republican Senate.
Yes, they want trillions where they can add in all this pork for things that have nothing to do with COVID. And the Republicans are standing strong and they're saying no. And then you have Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez coming out on Twitter and saying, well, you know, that's all the Republicans' fault. No, it's Nancy's fault. And they're just waiting. I just believe that they're waiting to see if they win those two Senate seats, because then they can do whatever they want to do.
Yeah, and then they're going to turn around and claim credit of, you know, saving the American public. And, you know, I got to tell you this, and I was going to say it before we had our cup of coffee. You know, if President Trump has to leave office, I do not want to see a repeat. And you know we will see a repeat of what the Obama-Biden administration did when they took over after George Bush lost the election, okay? And they spent the entire 8 years through all of their personal failures, systemic failures, blaming George Bush. Okay, you know what? You can blame Bush for the first year. Maybe you can get away with it for 2 years. But after that, you got to own it, because it's your economy. It's your administration. You're the guy pulling the trigger. You're the guy that's in control of the Senate. You're the guy that's in control of the Congress. It's basically your world. And you, meaning Obama and fuddy-duddy Biden, just big time screw ups. And with John Kerry, Secretary of State, and we had Hillary Clinton, my God, what a bunch of incompetent boobs. So please don't blame.
Unethical people, right? is what they were.
And what I want to say just really quickly is that y'all better not blame Trump for all of this stuff. When you go back to your failed business model and your failed economic and your failed international policies, don't be blaming President Trump, because he was doing fantastic until COVID.
Yeah, this country was in the best place it's ever been in my lifetime before COVID. And that was a gift from the Chinese. And I believe that it was a gift from the Chinese to stop President Trump from putting so much pressure on them. Well, they don't have to worry about that with Joe Biden. He's right in bed with them.
And I think without a doubt that if we had not had COVID, we would have President Trump for another 4 years.
Oh, not a doubt. Not a doubt. But, you know, they lied so much about all of the causes, and they blame President Trump for the deaths. And if anything, he saved so many people. We are the first country that has an effective vaccine, three of them, and the antivirals. Right. And you look all around the world, Russia, they came up with a vaccine that's scary. Yeah. You
know, China, Europe, look at all Japan, look at all these sophisticated nations that haven't come up with a damn thing. It's been the United States and the marriage between government and medicine and the pharmaceutical industries, and removing regulations from FDA to go full speed ahead, but still have all the protections of FDA, that has made this possible. And only a person that's a leader like President Trump could have done it.
Well, and Obama and Biden, neither one of them could really make a decision like that. They just weren't capable of making decisions like that, but they were capable of using their words to denigrate Christians and Americans all over the world, and Jews as well. So, you know, this is, oh my gosh, why we wanted this back, I just have no idea. So, good news on the COVID front, stock market is soaring. And what else you got to talk about there?
Well, I've got not so good news, you know, and I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but, you know, with the COVID, we've had such significant increases in mental health problems, suicides, drug abuse, drug addiction, child abuse, domestic violence, and gun violence. And the gun violence is not going away. And I want to talk about that, because Black Lives Matter, Antifa, all these progressive liberals are talking about defunding, disengaging, disenfranchising, and dissolving law enforcement. And this is the end result of it. So I thought I'd bring you, because that's what I like to do every once in a while, put in the facts and figures of what's going on in the United States currently, right now.
And the news is not reporting any of this because they're stuck on the mantra that there is no increase in crime. Well, right. We beg to differ.
Oh, no, there are significant increases in crime. And I want to see if you can remind me at the end, and I'll talk about the no increase in crime argument with some facts. But anyway, speaking of facts and figures, here's some current ones. And you know, what I did was I took six of our major cities and plotted all the crime statistics with gun violence and homicides. And I wanted to, you know, I always like to start out with my favorite city, which is Chicago. So in the city of Chicago, currently 715 people shot and killed in gun violence. All right. And wounded 3,188, for a total of people shot, killed, and wounded of nearly 4,000 people, 3,839 people. So compare and contrast, which is what the media never does. So this is all about police violence. You hear about it. Police are out of control. Police need to de-escalate. So in the city of Chicago, we've had a total of 17 officer-involved shootings, 6 fatalities, and 11 wounded. So we also have had 10 people killed by other people in self-defense shootings. 96% of all the shooters and all the victims are people of color. 76%, almost 77% are Black, and the rest are Hispanic. So 96 in a little bit percent people of color. Keep that in mind. When I compare and contrast, we've got an increase, just an incredible increase. Civilians have shot and killed 119 times more people than the police in Chicago, and they have wounded 290 times more people than the police in Chicago. Let me bounce down.
So there's your argument about police brutality right out the window.
Oh, I mean, just incredible. I have never once heard Fox News, even One American News, except when I'm on talking about it, and the mainstream media, even comparing and contrasting the difference between officer-involved shootings and civilian-involved shootings with people of color. Absolutely incredible. Los Angeles, 300 homicides this year, 300 homicides. New York City, twice as many people shot and killed this year over last year. So they've had a 180% increase. Wow. 180% increase. They've had 1,570 shooting victims over 2019, which was only 776 people shot and killed. Baltimore, they've got a 295 murders, gun violence murders. They're way up into double digits. St. Louis, 207 gun violence murders, a 25-year high with respect to St. Louis. Detroit, 130 murders and 400 shootings. They're up 50%. So, you know, who's kidding who, Linda? Now, when they talk, and I heard a guy on Fox News, Martha McCollum, who I really love, took this guy on, and he had the audacity of saying that crime is down in the United States. Let me tell you that the guy is so ignorant. What is down is reported crimes. That's what's down, because they're defunding the police. The police are leaving in droves. They already lost, just in the last few weeks, they had 34 more officers leave the Seattle Police Department. They've decided to defund it by 18%. People wanted 50%. Portland, Oregon, that's another one. They're leaving in droves. New York City, they're backed up out the door on early retirements, leaving the department, and disability retirement.
Yeah.
Backed out the door. Okay. They said they would, it's like an 8-year, so many people have retired and put in for retirement or disability retirement in New York. It would have taken 8 years normally to equate to how many people are leaving the New York City Police Department.
But do you notice that in all the cities that you mentioned, not one city leader has a solution?
No. And they're all Democrats, by the way.
Yes.
Okay.
They have no solution to the high homicide rates they're seeing. They have no solution to the violence that they're seeing. They just want to sweep it under the rug. But in the meantime, real people with real families are losing their lives in these cities, and our city leaders are doing nothing. And they're doing the opposite of nothing. They're making it worse by defunding the police.
No, you know, absolutely. Recently, I flew out to California to give a speech and a 2-hour seminar to representatives of about over 100 law enforcement agencies in Southern California. And we were talking about the new changes in the law of Senate Bill 230, which was passed by the legislators, signed by Governor Newsom. And we were talking about all the systemic changes in the so-called, as Kamala Harris says, reimagining police.
Yes.
All right. And so they want the police to do all this additional training, but the funding is just a drop in the bucket. There is no, by the way, they have to get this training started by January 1st when the new laws take place. And whether or not they have the training, the new laws are in effect. And I will give you my personal opinion as a person that this is definitely in my wheelhouse. These are done to increase the prosecution of officers.
Absolutely.
And to make them more reluctant to take legitimate law enforcement actions.
Well, just the one that really bothers me is taking reasonable force and making it necessary force. And who is the person who's going to decide what's necessary? You were not in that officer's shoes at that moment when somebody is threatening your life or you know, just the situations that happen in a split second. You're not there, but you want to, you know, backseat drive. You want to quarterback the whole thing and tell the officer how he should have felt at that time. I'd like that to happen to any of those people. Let them see how it feels to be in that situation and then have everybody second guess what you thought and what you did and prosecute you for it.
And in milliseconds, many times
yes.
It happens, it goes down and literally in the blink of an eye. I've had so many cases like that. As a matter of fact, I refer to them as blink of an eye case. But here's the deal. And thank you for saying that, because the United States Supreme Court precedent case in all uses of force, including deadly force, is Graham v. Conner that goes back to 1989. And it is an objective standard. And that's why it's called objectively reasonable force. And you mentioned the law has been changed to necessary force. And for our friends and followers that don't understand the difference, you pointed it out, but I'm just going to clarify it. The new standard is speculative.
Yes.
It's subjective. It's by 2020 hindsight. It's what we call in civil rights work in a plaintiff case, woulda, coulda, shoulda. You can't woulda, coulda, shoulda when you're dealing with officer, you know, with the analysis of officer involved shootings. The Supreme Court literally mandates those of us that investigate these things that we have to stand in the shoes of the officer, knowing what he knew and what he didn't know in the rapidly evolving situations that are tense and uncertain that go down in the blink of an eye. And this new law is removing that ability from the officers, and it's going to be deadly. It's going to be deadly for the officers, and it is not going to serve the public whatsoever.
And when officers start being prosecuted under those new laws, officers will leave in droves. But that law, and here's my prediction, will end up in the Supreme Court again because it is against what the Supreme Court has already ruled. So I don't think that that law is going to be able to stand. But in the meantime, there's a lot of officers that are going to be either physically hurt or hurt by litigation.
No, or prosecution, which is kind of the same thing. So, I mean, it's a sad state of affairs. I believe I gave a pretty good presentation. I had good response from my audience, got a standing ovation. It gave me a nice award. It's always nice for Dr. Ron to get a little pat on the back.
Of course.
But I felt so bad for them, you know, and I do work in California still, and I do defend officers, and I do civil rights work as well. Not always defending officers or agencies, but you have to have an objective standard of proof. You can't just willy-nilly, like you said, Linda, armchair quarterback, 20/20 hindsight, these cases. And people need to have a forensic review instead of an emotional response to these cases. Anyway.
You know, I want to just switch up for a second and tell people about our new email address. They can reach out to us and give us thoughts about how they like the show, or if they don't like the show, give us ideas that they'd like to hear us talk about.
If you don't like the show, my name is Jake and this is Teresa.
But the new email is Dr. Ron and Linda at talkingwhilemarried.com. That is DrRonAndLinda at talkingwhilemarried.com. So we'd love to hear from you. And please catch us every weeknight at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you miss us,
Monday through Friday.
Yeah. And if you miss us, you can go on any of your favorite podcasts, Apple or iHeart or Stitcher, any of those, and catch us on podcasts and listen to your heart's desire.
And listen, don't forget that we have an amazing group of experts and writers at America Out Loud. Miss Linda Martinelli is one of them. So please catch her articles. And Linda has got a brand new talk show called Ladies of Liberty Sound Off.
Yes, that is 1 p.m. Monday through Friday. And it's a great group of just super intelligent women that I have a lot of fun with. So 1 p.m. Monday through Friday, Eastern Standard Time. And one more thing, take a look at the AmericaOutloud.com bookstore. Dr. Ron's books are all on there and you can find them and purchase them and enjoy them.
And that's about it.
Okay.